It is surprising that many of my stories involve road trips, and this one is no exception. Its name is Lemonade Days. Now, let me tell you, it was tough. It was really tough growing up in Chicago. This was, of course, because of the White Sox. You may have heard of the White Sox. They are a team reputed to play baseball in the city of Chicago. However, when I was a boy, there was little evidence to support that contention. But wait, you say, wait a minute. What about 2005? The White Sox won their division. They won the American League pennant. They won the World Series. What about 2005? Well, to that, I say it was only 60 years too late. You know, a boy needs a team that he can be proud of. The White Sox never met that need. It was rumored at one time that the White Sox would trade for Reggie Jackson, Mr. October. But it was never done. And on reflection, it is obvious why. Someone thought about it and they realized that the White Sox don't play in October. Now, if you didn't understand that allusion, just talk to your friend who knows about baseball and he'll explain it to you. But there must be something. There must be something around Chicagoland to compensate for the presence of the White Sox. And there is. It's the Indiana sand dunes at the southern tip of Lake Michigan. And my only regret is that we went there but once a year. But on that day, or the night before, really, I'd be so excited, I'd be unable to sleep, I'd be up every few minutes looking out the window for light in the east, and when I finally saw some light in the east, I'd be pounding on my parents' door, time to get up, time to get up, time to get up, time to get ready to go to the dunes, time to get up and get ready to go to the dunes, it's getting light out, let's get up and go ready. Somehow or another, they didn't seem to be so anxious to get up as I was. After consideration, I began to realize why this was. In those days before the invention of sunscreen, I would have been sunburned beyond recognition if I spent the entire day at the beach. But after a while, they would decide to get up, and then we got ready, and I had, of course, to go to the basement. Now, for those of you who've always lived in Southern California, let me explain about the basement. The basement is like a scary house under the house. It's a place that small boys don't like to go because who knows? Who knows what might be down there in the basement? What might be down there in the basement just waiting for a small boy? Basement monsters are very hungry, and this is mainly because small boys form an important niche on the food pyramid of basement monsters. And since small boys know this, they don't get one very often, so as I said, they are very hungry. But finally, if you want to go to the dunes, you have to go to the basement, because all those things that are needed once a year are stored down there, like the beach ball, the beach blanket, the beach grate that you use on your fire, the beach umbrella, and there was that big enamel coffee pot stored down there, and the 1 gallon thermos jug lined with cork and painted green, that's where it was, and all those things had to be got, and I had to get them. Well, I got them. I stepped lively when near the bottom step of that basement, though. I brought up those things, and then, of course, they had to be washed. Now, you probably did not realize this, but there is a dirt mill in the basement that throws out dirt constantly, and all the things that come up from the basement are dirty. They were put away clean, but they're dirty now, and I had to wash those things. When that was done, then I got to make the lemonade, squeezing lemons by hand, putting sugar and water into that big green thermos jug and stirring with the enamel spoon. Just about this time, my Uncle Charlie would show up, and he'd see me stirring the lemonade, and he'd say, "Lemonade, made in the shade, stirred with a rusty spade." That was like the password. It was like the signal. It was like the secret word. It meant that we could all get piled into my Uncle Charlie's 1948 DeSoto, and we could go to the dunes. Now, my Uncle Charlie was the only one in our family that ever had a new car. And to have a DeSoto, what a treat, what a ride, once a year. Of course, it must have been 1,000 miles to the dunes. It seemed so long. And when you're on a 1,000-mile trip, you have to stop, of course. And we would stop at an ice cream shop in Gary, Indiana, and get those ice cream cones that were the best ever once a year. Then when we got to the beach, we went to Miller's Beach. That was not its real name, but there was a family there named Miller who, for reasons unknown to me, let us change into our bathing suits in their beach basement. This was a different kind of basement, though. It had doors and windows on the outside, and it had a wet, sandy floor. I can still feel the grit between my toes from that sandy floor at Miller's basement. I probably should wash them more often. Anyway, I don't have to tell you what to do at the beach. We did everything that you would do at the beach, but there was one thing that we did that you can't do at many beaches because this one had sand dunes. You could walk to the top of the sand dune, you could lay down, and then you could roll over and over and over down the dune. Of course, you had to keep your eyes closed, and you had to keep your mouth closed. Keeping your mouth closed is pretty hard for a storyteller, but then I wasn't telling stories yet. But there was one thing I did not have to do at the beach. I did not have to listen to Bob Elston on WJJD 1600 on your dial tell about how the White Sox lost today. I was freed of my obligation. My Uncle Charlie and I would go and look for firewood. Now, we would never bring firewood. Charlie would never buy firewood. In fact, we never bought anything that could be avoided. But there was plenty of firewood on the beach. There was some driftwood. Actually, our main source was other people's fires. People had had fires, they had burnt out, and there was plenty of good wood in the ends of the material they had brought, and then there was a lot of charcoal and made a wonderful fire. Then Charlie and I would come back and make the fire, put that fire grate on, put on the enamel coffee pot, and it was filled with lake water. Imagine that, lake water, only once a year, of course. Well, I think that those afternoons at the beach went so fast. They went so fast, I really can't remember anything about them. And it was not long before I would be sleeping the sleep of the sunburned. I have no idea, no idea how we ever got home those nights. I just remember that I would wake up in the morning and it seemed as though all the pleasure had seeped out of the summer. I could only look forward to the opening of school with regret and the end of the baseball season with relief. Now I have a question for you. I want to ask you, why is it we only do the things we like once a year? Why don't we do them more often? I've been thinking about that, and I'm beginning to realize that the answer to that question is the same as the answer to the question, why do the White Sox always lose? And if you figure that one out, why, let me know.